Anyway, let's open in a word of prayer. Father, we give you thanks for the day. Thank you that we can come and worship you. And as we come now, consider your word. Pray that, Lord, as you promised, your spirit will teach us, guide us. Lord, help us to stop and consider the things of your word this day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you can remember, 2 weeks ago, decided to have a little break from 1 Corinthians and stop and consider the greatest commandment of all. We know that Jesus was asked the question, what is the greatest commandment of all? And he answered by saying, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And so Jesus makes it very clear that out of everything, he wants us to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if Jesus said that this is the first and most important commandment, well then, it makes sense that this is what we should put the most effort into. Sometimes we can put so much effort into vague, obscure things in the Word of God, and we miss the most important. 2 weeks ago, we looked at learning to love the Lord with all our heart and our soul. And that had to do with our affections towards Him. And today we're going to consider mostly our mind, but loving Him with our strength will come into it as well. And that next week we'll start back in 1 Corinthians again. So we're looking at loving the Lord with all our mind. Have you stopped and ever considered that there are 24 hours in a day? For most of us, we may sleep for 7 or 8. That'd be nice. 7 or 8. I get to sleep that many, but others don't. But 7 or 8 hours of sleep where you don't have very much control over what you're thinking. But that does leave 16 to 17 hours where your mind is active and you have control over what you're thinking. Question is, what do you spend those 16, 17 hours thinking about? That's what God's interested in. You might say, well, I don't think about much, actually. It's all pretty blank. All right. But I did some research. Scientists believe that on average, that a person in a day will have around about 50,000 thoughts. 50,000 thoughts. Now, that's conservative. Some say up to 80,000 thoughts on average. That's around about one thought every 1.7 seconds. No wonder I feel tired at the end of the day after all that thinking. I didn't realize I thought so much. And it's easy to believe that we have a thought 1.7 seconds every 1.7 seconds. The attention span of some children and even some men, you'd believe it, wouldn't you? That's about as long as they can think on one thing at a time, 1.7 seconds. I think for myself, I reckon 20,000 of those thoughts probably come when I'm trying to have a quiet time. It's very hard to concentrate on the job at hand. There always seems to be other thoughts flying in and out at the same time. You might say that, well, I think about 40,000 of those 50 come when I'm trying to go to sleep. You know, I want to just stop thinking and relax, and that's when you have about 40,000 thoughts start coming into your head and prevent you from sleeping. I think it's good to remember, though, that it's only an average. Some have more thoughts than this. While it's quite obvious by the way that some people act, they have far less than these thoughts. Maybe they don't have very much going around in their head. But interesting, I also read that the average person has around about 80% of these thoughts are negative thoughts. 40,000 on average negative thoughts a day. That's a lot of negative thinking, isn't it? And you don't have to be very old to discover the power that thoughts can have over you. Our thoughts can affect every part of us. Our physical well-being, our outlook on life, our relationships with others, the way that we work, it can affect everything. And if 80% of those thoughts are negative, well, then that can have a very obviously negative effect on a person. If someone's having 40,000 sad thoughts a day, no wonder they feel sad and depressed. If they're having 40,000 fearful thoughts a day, no wonder they're full of anxiety and fear. If they're having 40,000 angry thoughts or bitter thoughts, well, no wonder they're feeling rather angry and bitter and sour-faced as well. If someone's having 40,000 immoral thoughts a day, no wonder they're having struggles with lust. So what we focus our 16 hours a day and 50,000 thoughts on will have a major effect on who we love and what's important to us and our entire life as well. And the Lord wants us to love Him with all our mind, He says. But the reality is, if 40,000 of those average 50,000 thoughts are angry thoughts or sad thoughts or resentful thoughts or immoral thoughts or anxious thoughts or uncontent thoughts, well, then you can't say that you love the Lord with all your mind, can you? Now, it is true that out of the average 50,000 thoughts, not everyone's going to be specifically about the Lord Himself. And I'm quite sure this isn't what the Lord was meaning when He said, love Him with all your mind. There are plenty of everyday things that we need to be thinking about that aren't necessarily directly about the Lord. When you're driving a car, you need to keep your mind on the road and what's happening around about you. When you're at work, particularly if you are working with power tools, you need to have your mind on the job. Little tip for us men. If you're talking to your wife, make sure she knows she has your full attention. All right? That's a very wise piece of advice, I tell you that. In fact, God wants us to be thinking about our wives. He wants us to be thinking about our wife, our children, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, about the community. There are lots of things that He wants us to be thinking about. And so I believe when He says, love the Lord with all your mind, what that's meaning is there is a thought process where we think about the Lord and we dwell on Him and we love Him, but overall we have a mind that does not offend Him. We have a mind that does not offend Him. See, the Word of God talks about different minds that a person can have. And this has to do with what the mind or that person thinks about the most. It talks about the character of that person's mind. What you think about the most will be the character of your mind, and so you'll have that type of mind. For example, the Word of God talks about a blinded mind, or a darkened mind, or a defiled mind, or a fleshly mind, a corrupt mind, a reprobate mind, a vain mind, a weary mind, a shaken mind, a proud mind, a selfish mind, a humble mind, a content mind, or the mind of Christ. I wonder which mind describes you. If you're looking at the character of a mind, what your mind thinks about the most. I've been doing a little bit of an analysis on my thoughts, knowing about this message. My mind's, the thoughts I have probably could be described as various types of thoughts. There are those that just flash in and flash out. You know, they're quick ones. Then there are those that remind me of a snail. They just slowly come in and they slowly go out. Some just vanish. Poof. I was thinking of it and then it's gone. Others are like that big bright spotlight where you just can't think of anything else but that thing. And it seems to take over your whole thinking. Some are like nomads. They never leave, but sometimes it's out in the back of your mind. It's just always there, and then you think about it more, and then it comes over there. You'd like to get rid of some of those thoughts, but they just never seem to leave. But I think maybe the one that describes a lot of thoughts are like mosquitoes. You know, they hide there, you don't know they're there, and then when you're feeling relaxed and nice, then they come and annoy you. And they buzz around and you want to get rid of them, but you just can't seem to get rid of them. There's lots of thoughts. I hope that's just not me. I hope you have thoughts like that too. Or I'm a very disturbed person. One thing I am very sure of though is, and that is, out of the average 50,000 thoughts I have, they're not all good thoughts. And they're not all thoughts that honour the Lord in one way or another. But I can say that I do want to have a mind where I love Him with all of it. I do want to have a Christ-like mind. And thankfully the title isn't, do you love the Lord with all your mind? Because I think we know the answer to that. But the title of the message is Learning to Love the Lord with All Your Mind. We can grow in this. All of us can start to, if we have that average 50,000 thoughts a day, we can start to increase the percentage of how many thoughts are on the Lord or glorify the Lord. Because Jesus said, this is the greatest commandment of all. So this is what we should be working on the most. That's where I believe loving Him with all our strength comes into it as well. If you're going to put your effort into something, it should be into this commandment. We can put a lot of time and effort into trying to bring up our bank balance or make ourselves fit or whatever it may be, or entertaining ourselves. But the Lord said, even though bodily exercise profits a little bit, we are to exercise ourselves unto godliness. That should be where all our strength and effort is channeled into. Having the mind of Christ, so we think like Him, which will produce actions like Him, should be where most of our effort is. And we can be sure of one thing, and that is the God of this world is going to do everything and try everything to make sure that we don't have a mind like Christ. He wants to clutter our mind so it's darkened and fleshly and defiled and corrupt and weary and shaken. Last thing He wants is for us to have a mind like Christ. He wants us full of anxieties and sadness and lust and discontentment and resentment and anger and rebellion and bitterness. If He can get a Christian where that's the majority of their thoughts and thought process, He knows it's going to affect every part of them. Their outlook on life, their attitude towards their fellow brethren, their body as well. He knows it's going to destroy us. And so we need to be working on this. Fact is, we can train our mind, how it thinks. We can build up godly habits in our mind, or we can build up godless habits as well. And what we train our mind to consistently think about will make all the difference between what or who we love. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today, learning to love the Lord with all our mind. And the key verse, and I'd like you to turn there, is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. You thought I was going to get you to turn to Philippians, didn't I? Think on these things. No, that's too easy. In fact, that's the last part of the process. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Let me read this verse. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A commandment here, that we are not to be conformed or shaped into the image of this world where we act like the world. If an unsaved person spends time with us, they should be able to see that we are considerably different to them in our whole outlook and attitude towards life and how we live. And what God wants is for us to be transformed so that we act like Christ. And how does this happen? Well, it all starts in the mind, he says. There is a need for the renewing of our mind. And it's this word renewing where we're going to get our 3 points from today. All right? There's some nice little hidden things. And so the key is renewing our mind. Firstly, I want you to notice the meaning of the word. The meaning of renewing means to renovate. We are to renovate our mind. We like renovating, or some people do. Well, if you're going to spend your time renovating something, make it your mind. That's a good thing to renovate. You know, you see on when people are selling a house, you have that little catchphrase, renovator's delight. What that means is it's a broken down, messed up wreck, and you're going to spend a lot of time and effort trying to fix it. That's what it really means. And for a lot of people, that's what should be on their head, renovator's delight, right? It's a big mess in here, and there's a lot of work needed. Now, the fact that we are sinners, we live in a sinful world, all of us need renovating to some extent. Depending on what you saturated your life with, maybe some need more renovating than others, but this is what God says, I want you to be renovating your mind. Second point, the method of renovating we see here as well. You know, some people have that unique ability to take some broken down house, clean it all up, and then people marvel at the transformation. Where there was a time where they would want nothing to do with that house, now they're paying millions to buy the silly thing. Just because someone had that unique ability to transform it into something beautiful. Well, I've got good news for you. And that is, we have a master builder who wants to make us, or our mind, his workmanship. He has that unique ability to take a broken down, rotten, filthy, smelly mind and to turn it into something where people marvel at the transformation. You know, some people who were before they were saved, and then you see them after salvation and that work of sanctification in their life and years gone by, you just can't believe the transformation in that person's life. Well, that's the work of the master builder. Says in Ephesians, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We have a master builder who wants to do some renovating. And this is important for this word. The word renewing not just means to renovate, it's in what we call the passive as well. And so what that means is, it's not an action that we do ourselves, it's an action that gets done to us. Somebody comes along and renovates our mind for us. And that's the master builder himself. He's the one that does the renovating. He gets rid of the grime and the filth and replaces it with good things. You know, those who have that ability to renovate a house, they usually have a method of doing it. Generally, it starts with getting rid of all the filth and the rubbish, and then they clean everything up, and then they start replacing it with good stuff. You don't bring in all the good stuff first, and they'll get rid of the rubbish later, so to speak. Now, there's a process. Some may take to it with a great big water blaster, blast the outside, get rid of all the flaking paint, take the blaster inside as well, and blast away there. I know when I worked on a dairy farm, after the cows had stood on that concrete yard for a while, they may have all gone, but they left a lot of stuff, a lot of filth. And the only thing to get rid of it is a lot of water blasting it. All right, it needed a good water blast. And that's what God wants to do with our mind. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. This is talking about the church in a whole, but it's talking about what he wants to do for us. He wants to give us a good hosing down or blast of water. It says in Ephesians 5:26 that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water. Huh. And what is that? By the word. The way God goes about renewing our mind is through cleansing or cleaning us through the word of God. Those thoughts of anger and bitterness and fear and lust and discontentment and so on are going to be cleaned out and replaced with kindness and peace and love and contentment and all that through the Word of God. There's no other way of doing it. You know, Jesus said in the Gospels that He will sanctify us, that is, set us apart so our mind and our actions are different to the world by His Word. When He was praying to His Heavenly Father, He said, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth, He says. And that's why God has so much to say about meditating upon His Word. That isn't just like a little catchphrase. This is what you should do, meditate on God's Word, and there's no purpose to it. This is where it all starts and finishes. That's why He says, blessed is the man who delights himself in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night. Blessed is that man. You're feeling sad or angry or frustrated, you're not delighting yourself in the law of the Lord enough. You need a good water blast. You know, the psalmist in Psalm 77 says, I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of all thy doings. So his mind is so filled with the works of the Lord that he can't but think and talk about the Lord. That's what he's doing. He's meditating, saturating himself in the Word of God. And the one who fills his mind with the thoughts of the Lord will be the one that has a clean mind and a Christ-like mind. We need to have that washing. And if you want to clean up your mind so that those average 50,000 thoughts a day are thoughts that honor the Lord, that's what you need to be doing. And there are various processes. Coming here and hearing the Word of God is a really good start. Saturating yourself where you read the Word of God. These are all the basics. Memorizing Scripture. You know, I know when I was about 21, I had a job in a factory. And the factory was pretty well mindless work. I didn't use up too many of those thoughts on what I had to do there. Sometimes I'd get these little drill bits, pieces of metal. I'd put it in the brace and I'd drill it. Zzz, zzz, put it there, get another one. I could do that for 3 or 4 days. Zzz. That's really boring stuff, I'm telling you. All right, that leaves a lot of time for the mind to think of other things. All right. Thankfully, I was what we call a Awana leader back then, and they had various Awana books where there's memory verses, and I wanted to learn all these books, and then I did all those books, and so then I got the gold memory verse pack and the silver memory verse pack. They all have about 25 or 30 in each, maybe more, and the bronze memory verse pack. And so I had around about, not exaggerating, maybe 200 verses or more where I had learnt, and I would go over them during the day. So, bzz, bzz, and I'd be going through, okay, and I'd be able to quote at least 200 verses. That was like a big water blast every day for my mind. That saved me from thinking of a lot of other things when I'm concentrating on working out all those verses that I know. It helped me as a young man quite considerably. That's another very good way. Listening to godly music, that's a good way to meditate on the Word of God and on the Lord in a simple way. Reading godly books, having godly conversations. You know, there are many ways where we can fill our mind with these things. If you're struggling with your thoughts and you seem to be overcome with those bitter thoughts or angry thoughts, lustful, I will guarantee you're not putting the effort into allowing yourself to be exposed to the Word of God. We need that changing power. We can't clean up our mind ourselves. People will say, I got these thoughts and I don't want to think them, but I just can't make myself stop thinking about them. That's because you're trying to do it in your own effort. Need to remember this renewing, renovating process is in the passive. It's something that God's Word will do for you. You can't do it yourself. If you're struggling with those thoughts and you're overcome with them, it's because you aren't letting the Word of God change you. You need to get exposed to it more and more, not less. And you know, if there's counselling and you come and say, look, I'm just overcome with these sad thoughts or anxious thoughts or whatever it is, and the pastor, me or whoever it may be, say, well, here's a list of verses I want you to start memorising. Don't think, oh, what verse is going to do? Well, there's a really good reason for that, because you need to start flooding your brain with the cleansing power of the Word of God. And so that's how it happens. Renewing is a passive thing. It gets done to you, and we get told it's through the Word of God. Third point, though, is the maintenance routine. The word renew doesn't just mean renovate. It isn't just in the passive, but it's also in the present tense, which means it's a continual thing. So you can't just have one big clean out of your mind and then it stays clean. Wouldn't that be nice? Ladies, you just dust the house once and that's it for the rest of your life. Wouldn't that be nice? Clean the kitchen up once and it stays clean. It doesn't work like that. You know, I haven't asked if I'm allowed to say this, but Linda says, why does the house keep getting dirty? Well, I know the reason for that. Dirty people live in it, right? We walk dirt in from outside. We drop crumbs when we shouldn't. We don't pick up the things that we should pick up. It's just a process. You tidy the house, and you would love it to stay like that for the rest of your life, but it's going to get dirty again because people are there. That's the reality. Cleaning the house is a what you call in the present tense, that word. It's a daily, continual action. And I'm sure most of you know that. And the renovating process, where we need God's word to clean us, is in the present tense as well. We need continual renewing of our mind through the Word of God. We go out into the world, we see things, we hear things that will make our mind filthy. Things happen to us which can cause us to get angry or gets us frustrated or hurts us, which can cause those sort of thoughts as well. There are lots of things in this sinful world that will produce wrong, negative, bad thoughts. And that's why we need that continual renewing of the Word of God. It's just not one washing or dusting process. Now, using the house getting dirty analogy, I think every mother here will agree that you would like your family to know that it's just not your responsibility to keep the house clean. And every member of the family has a part to play. Everyone should be careful not to walk the mud from outside into the house. Everyone should be careful not to drop crumbs on the floor. Everyone should pick up the things that they have been using and not leave it to you. And what can make a mother and a wife frustrated is she sees no effort on the part of others. It's like she is the one that has to do all the work and no one else seems to be interested in keeping the house clean. And this is the same when it comes to the Lord, I believe. He wants us, He wants to clean our house. He has the process, but often He sees no effort on our part. And that's where I believe loving the Lord with all your mind and strength comes in. There are certain things He requires of us in order to Him to be able to do the cleaning. It says in 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. That's a phrase for the soldiers. I'm sure I've explained this before, where when they go into battle, they are to tuck in all their loose garments so when they're running, they don't trip over them. That's girding up their loins. And that's what we're to do when we're in this battle. We're to gird up the loins of our mind. You're not to have little thoughts flapping around everywhere that's going to trip you up. You need to see what's wrong and tuck them in or get rid of them. You just can't go and think on whatever you want. It says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down, that word means demolish or destroy imaginations, that is our thoughts, wrong thoughts, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There are some thoughts we need to take hold of and just destroy, or ask God to start destroying, but we need to be aware of them. And it's true. I think there's more chance sometimes of catching that elusive mosquito in the middle of the night in the dark and destroying it than to catch those thoughts and destroy them. But there is a process, and we have a part to play in it. That is, we start saturating ourselves in the Word of God. And then also we start to see the thoughts that we shouldn't be having and dismiss them as well and replace them with the right things. God's given us a filter. Think on things that are true and honest and just and lovely and so on in Philippians. God makes it very clear that as Christians, we don't have the license to be able to just think on whatever we want. And we need that daily routine of that cleansing. And if you're struggling with some sort of wrong thoughts, overwhelmed with being bitter towards something, or you're selfish, or you're sad, or you're angry, or whatever it may be, I'll guarantee you're spending no or little time in the Word of God. I'll guarantee you're not saturating yourself with memorizing the Word of God. You're probably listening to songs and music that's not honoring to the Lord, and you're not considering Him during the day. And when that happens, I'll guarantee that plenty of those 50,000 thoughts in your mind that come in and out or just camp there aren't pleasing to the Lord. In fact, without that regular washing, you know, our minds are going to get filthy and stinky and absolutely terrible. We'll probably even get used to the stench. Being in one of those houses where people never clean and it's a filthy place. It probably was clean once, but boy, they haven't done cleaning for a long time. And they even get used to it. They need a big clean out. And often we do too. Are you able to say, do I love the Lord with all my mind? Or I do love? Now, I'll give you an example of how it takes place. I'll use a married couple. I noticed, since I have that privilege of doing marriage counselling with newlyweds, that when a young man and young woman are in love with each other, they're getting ready to get married, often they don't seem to be all with it. And often they forget things that they normally wouldn't forget. They lose interest in friends that they normally would be very interested in. There are things that once were important to them, but now they're not that important to them at all. And why is that the case? Well, all they can think about is the one they're going to marry and their wedding day. It seems like 49,000 of the 50,000 thoughts are taken up with that person and that wedding. That's all they talk about, and their friends have to hear it too, all right? But that's all they talk about. That's all they think about. That's all. And so, oh, that's right, I was meant to go there. Oh, I have no time for you, friends, because this is consuming their brain. And, you know, that's a good example of how we're going to change things that we shouldn't be thinking about. When you start consuming your mind with the things of God and having a love for Him, and so your thoughts are that consumed with Him, you'll find that those things that you did love in the past don't seem to be that important anymore. Those things that did take up a lot of your time, you don't even think about them anymore because you are consumed with the things of God. As the song goes, Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. But another observation I've made is, once a couple has been married for a while and they get used to each other, maybe slightly annoyed with one another and a little bit bored with one another, the thoughts about their spouse and their marriage drop off considerably. It certainly doesn't consume their mind like they used to. They start to think of other things again. Now, when it comes to a marriage, that's probably a good thing. You know, they actually start to concentrate at work again and they're productive once again at work. They may even come to church and think about the message rather than thinking about what they're going to buy with what flowers they're going to get for the wedding and all that sort of stuff. They might actually think when they come to church about the message. They may even start talking to their friends and want to do something with their friends again. But it does come obvious that they're not so filled with the one they're marrying or married and that wedding day or marriage. But the danger is that the pendulum swings too far the other way to where they get to the point where they hardly think about the one they married and they hardly think of their marriage and they consume themselves with other things. And what can happen is, because they hardly think of the one they married and hardly think of the one they married, their marriage, and they're consuming themselves with something else or someone else, it gets to the point where their spouse can even doubt that they even love them. And they know this by the way that they act. Their actions show that they actually have no interest in me whatsoever. So that's the pendulum swing. And you see it. You know, we have a Heavenly Father that knows our thoughts. And he knows what we think about. And he knows if we are at that state where we don't love him. And if you know you're like that, well, then this is some little counseling. You can take this as marriage counseling or you can take this as God counseling. This is what I usually advise people to do. Sit down and write 50 things about your spouse that you are so thankful about. 50 means you're going to get down to the nitty-gritty generally. And what it actually does is make you realize how many things they do for you and how much you appreciate them. And sometimes you forget the things that you once loved about them. And think on those things during the day. And then also make a specific time where they know that time is just for them. And they know it. And you show them that by keeping that time where they know that you have your full attention. And then work out ways that you can start to show them your love. Specific ways so they can see that you are genuine about your love for them. And you'll find that when you start consuming yourself like this, that love that you once had for that person will start coming back. You can do that with the Lord too. Write down 50 things you love about the Lord and thankful about the Lord. And think on those things. Look for them in your quiet time. Give him a specific time. Say, Lord, this is our time together by ourselves where I'm going to fellowship with you and make a pledge of that time. Not just hit and miss. And then look at ways that you can start showing him you love him. Fill your mind with him. And you'll find that your mind is far more consumed with the things of the Lord than those other things. And that helps in that renewing of the mind. And that'll help us in our love for him. So there's some tips on learning to love the Lord with all your mind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you that, Lord, you love us. And, Lord, your thoughts never stop thinking about us. Lord, that's amazing. Lord, I pray that our thoughts will increasingly become directed towards you and not ourselves or this world. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.